important research remains inaccessible to the vast majority of the world's population. And we at Google believe that unlocking that knowledge, the knowledge that's on the frontier of what we understand about the world, will accelerate progress, enable innovation, and really ultimately grow the world economy.
In the infectious diseases world, HIV self-test is the first self-test. It was a culmination of all the reading that I was doing, and they were all freely available literature because I really believed in it. And this wasn't possible in the older model. You know, knowledge was always within the confines of academia, and it took years to translate and percolate. So that's the power of open access. It's like a catalyst.
That diversity from ecology to health research, from data online to data in people's smartphones, through to the classroom in the CellScope, is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the diversity of uses of open access science out there.
For projects like this, they are meant to involve people that are not scientists and therefore should be open access and approachable and readable by people who are not part of university.
So whether it was the reuse of some data, whether it was a new discovery based on some data and other research, or whether it was simply the extension of existing research in other scholarly papers, what I think is exciting is that they've shown the value of open access from an actual, true, real result. Not just it's good because it's good, but it's good because it comes out in value for the world.
We've over 200, nearly 300 people internationally, all contributing their knowledge to one database on marine species.
We're getting about 600,000 unique visitors per year. That's about 90,000 people a month, and over 4 million hits to the website. And that's just for marine species. So one of our visions is, imagine if all species on Earth were in one online database like this. How many people would be using it? Students, you know, secondary school kids, everybody.
We were able to calculate for threatened species worldwide what proportions of their remaining populations rely on tourism funding. We wanted our information to be available not only to academics, but to park managers and government environmental policy people worldwide.
Open access to me clearly means the results of research freely available at the time of publication, and licensed in ways which allows others to reuse that, subject to the usual norms of academic integrity, such as attribution.
So the bot checks whether a certain article is openly licensed. And if it is, it also checks whether the article has any multimedia associated with it, specifically video and audio materials. If so, it downloads those materials from that database, converts them to a format that Wikimedia Commons accepts, and uploads them to Wikimedia Commons, along with the necessary metadata and with some categories that make it more easy for people on Wikimedia Commons to find those materials.
The reuse aspect is central. Free to reuse is actually where creativity kicks in, where you can do things in a new way, especially at large scale.
We'll start to see an explosion in the types of content that people start thinking about when they talk about publishing their research outputs.
One of the two major elements of open access publishing is the creative reuse of the articles and data that are published on an open access platform. Recognizing these very creative approaches to this available science, this science that in a different environment would not have been available.
I'm trying to solve something that's been bugging me for years, which is A, to find a drug for malaria, but B, to try and show that by working in a different way, a more open way, we can get there more quickly.
And to be able to actually say, here are real people who are using open content and coming up with results, discoveries, new services that are changing the way people relate to the world is just an incredible opportunity.